says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And that's what we're going to study this morning. Back in Philippians in the 4th chapter. We have come through a portion of this chapter. Paul speaks to us about rejoicing in the Lord. He speaks to us about some things that are of utmost importance. And he speaks about these saints and their willingness to lay hold of an opportunity that was given to them to provide for the ministry that Paul was in. And we saw last time in particular, he's mentioned that he didn't speak in respect of want, because he learned whatever state he was in therewith to be content, and he knew how to be abased and how to abound and so on. Things that Paul had learned. And then he comes to verse 13, and this is, we're going to read from 13 this morning down through the end of the chapter again. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. I'm actually going to quit there this morning, because we're not going to make it that far this morning. I especially want to dwell on this thought about I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I think it's interesting, in the previous verse, Paul speaks to us in particular about some more specific type things, which is being full and suffering need, that is, not having enough. Things that he had learned. But then he goes on. He doesn't just stop there. And then he says, I can do all things. And the phrase is everything. He wants to make sure that we don't get stuck on there's only certain things that are that the Lord takes care of. And I have to admit that as I was listening to Tom this morning, I just amazed and impressed at how these things fall together here. To think about the things that we can and can't do, and the things that we look to him for, which in this case it says all things. I'm gonna bring out some of the meanings of these words before I get started in this. When Paul says I can do, that's one. I always find this interesting, by the way. I don't know if you do or not, but those three words are one Greek word, and that word means I have the power or the force to do this. I have the power or the force. I think that's interesting, because then he goes on to say, through Christ which strengtheneth me, and that word strengtheneth, it means to give strength or power, or to increase in strength. And so as I thought about these things, I realized Paul is saying that all the power I have to do all the things that I need to do come through Christ Jesus, who is the one that increases my strength. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I know we've read this chapter before, but I think it's good to go back and look at this again in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and it's familiar verses. Verse 28 of Isaiah 40 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. I think it's interesting when these things are posted as questions like this. If you drop up a little bit right above this in verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. See, they're thinking there. And then he says, don't you know, haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Again, as Tom spoke, I just thought about how this all kind of went together here. How often we attempt and intend to do things in our own strength, and we fail. We fail because we don't have strength. We don't have what is necessary in ourselves. And the only way that we're going to succeed is to look to the one that does. While we're in Isaiah, let's go to chapter 41, just the next chapter over. Verse 10, Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not. The enemy is consistently attempting, as we've mentioned before, to bring us into bondage of that fear. And he reminds us, after a whole night of nothing, that we're not capable. And he would have us fear, and yet there is one calling to us who says, I can, and in me you can. I'm going to go to John, the 15th chapter. I read this, I don't remember if I read it last time or the time before, it seemed like recently anyway. The 15th chapter of John, you know these passages, they're very familiar. This is about the vine and the branches. And in verse 4 of this chapter 15, Jesus speaking here, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. This is the opposite statement, the opposing statement, if you will, of what Paul just said, right? They both actually mean the same thing, if you look at them and think about it. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. And Jesus says, you can't do anything without me. Same meaning. Abiding in him, it means to stay, to dwell. Again, and this came out as Tom was speaking, that how often we attempt to go our own way, to look for our own method and get away from our Lord. I think it's probably part of our old nature to want to be self-reliant. There's a lot of people today, they want to speaking in the natural, they want to be fully self-sufficient, to be able to grow all the food they need and to produce all of the energy they need and all these things that are necessary for life. They want to be able to do that all by themselves. And I think many times, spiritually speaking, we're the same way. We just want to be in control of all that, and we'll do it ourselves. And as we found out this morning, we end up with a whole night of nothing. A lot of emptiness. The only place to find strength and the only place to find fulfillment is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, having spoken to us about some things, some specific things, he now goes on to say, I can do all things, whatever comes his way. And I'm not going to go back and go into that again. We just did it recently. But if you go back and read what Paul says about the things that came upon him as he ministered the gospel, the things that he went through, they were more than just being hungry or lacking some things. Much, much more than that. And so here he's reminding us all the things which come our way. We are strengthened by the one who died for us, the one who has the strength to carry us through, the one who has the ability to increase our strength. Paul says, I have power to do all things. I have power to do all things. Empowered by the power of the one who is all powerful. I'm not sure if we always grasp that entirely, to think about being empowered by him. I like the thought of power. I think that probably has something to do with the fact that I'm an engineer, I guess, and I studied about power. It was one of my classes I had to take. And power is important to us today because it's the reason we have lights in this building, and in the summertime, air conditioning, we need power for that. So we can understand a little bit about what that means. And as much as man would like for it to happen, power doesn't just happen. It has to be created somewhere. And it takes something to create it. Some sort of energy is converted into other forms of energy that create electricity for us. And it takes a large amount of power. I wish I knew the numbers. I didn't look them up, but in order to power the city of Wichita, it takes many megawatts, millions of watts of power to power all the houses in Wichita. That's a lot of power. And so we can understand that concept. But what is hard for us to understand is the concept of the all-powerful one. I don't even know, I guess I don't even know how to bring that into words to think about. If you could gather all of the power in the world, I'll give you this example, I guess. I was thinking about this the other day, I don't know exactly why, but I heard a story about a man that got struck by lightning. And I was thinking about it, a bolt of lightning, something that's natural, that's part of God's creation, carries more power in it than all the power that we have in the United States, okay? One bolt of lightning. And even that's not, again, not all of God's power. That's one bolt of lightning. It's hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to think about what that means, the power that is available to us. In Ephesians 3 and 16, Paul says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened. For us to comprehend, and Paul is right to remind us that everything is possible with our Lord. Now, I know that often, now let's go back to reality just a little bit here for a minute. I know that often the reality seems different, doesn't it? Things come upon us and it feels like we're going to be crushed. The psalmist writes along those lines quite a bit. He felt like he was in a place where there was no way for him to survive it. And the enemy often will bring us to those places where it feels like we're just being crushed and there is nothing that can be done to help. And yet, we turn to the Lord. And we remember what he said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I read this one last time, so I'll just quote it this morning. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, those times when it feels like we're being crushed and it feels like our strength is completely gone, that's when we can recognize the strength of the Lord. You see, Jesus could have shown up earlier and helped them catch those fish. We don't know how long he stood and watched them do that. But they needed to come to the place where they realized their lack of ability. All night long and no fish, that's hard. That's harsh. But you see, they had no strength left of their own to fish. No ideas left in their minds. And Jesus comes, and that's when we recognize. I'm going to tell you, by the way, that casting the net on the other side of the boat was totally a useless thing to do, I have to say. They're catching schools of fish. Their boat's about this wide. And the difference of fish from here to here, that's just unheard of, okay? That's not possible. And yet, when they threw the net over the right side, there were all the fish on the right side of the boat. What were they doing there? See, even when all logic fails, you look at it and you go, there's no logical sense anymore to this. The Lord comes along and says, now let me show you my strength. Let me show you my ability. And that's where we need to end up. You see that Paul, he recognized that in himself he could have gotten boastful, right? He had had revelations that no one else had had before. He could have become boastful in himself, and yet the Lord allowed some things in his life to remind him that it was in his weakness that God was being strong. It was in Paul's weakness that God was showing his great strength. And he says there, this is a statement that's hard to come to, I'll have to admit. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Well, it's in those infirmities, see, that the power of Christ can be reflected. It's in those times when we have nothing left of ourselves and there's no logical explanation anymore that we can then truly show forth the glory of our wonderful Savior. I'm going to go to Colossians, another place that Paul mentions being strengthened, and I appreciate the statement here. Paul says, Colossians 1, verse 11. I don't know if I said that or not. I was thinking about it. Expect people to read my mind, I guess. I don't know. In verse 11 of Colossians 1, he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Strengthened, given a force. I'll read the actual. It says to enable, to strengthen with force, right? And then with all might. And again, the word there is force. The word for might, it is force. It's a slightly, it's the same Greek word with a different, slightly different meaning, but strengthen with all might. All might. Imagine, you know, I don't know if you liked comic books or not, but you know, there's superhero comics, and you know, they had all sorts of different powers. Imagine if you had the power of lightning at your disposal. huge amounts of power. You would feel pretty strong, pretty important. As God's children, we have been strengthened with all of His might. All of His might. It enables us. It enables us. Here He says, unto all patience, the suffering of things, long suffering. Did Paul suffer something? Yes, patiently. And not just going through it, not just tolerating, but He says with joyfulness, giving thanks. That's the kind of enablement that He gives us. In ourselves, we might try to conjure up our power, you know, and get through this, whatever it is, and make it through just barely. But Paul went through these things with joyfulness and thanksgiving. It requires the enablement and the empowering of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, back in our chapter again, Philippians, he says that, and then he says, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul's reminding the saints here, I have been given strength to go through all of these things, whatever they be. He says, my enabling comes from the Lord. But then he reminds them that what they have done is good and important. Paul would have survived the things he had, the lack, the needs, and so on, even if these saints had chosen not to do this. But he reminds them and us also that what they have done is good. Communicate with my affliction. The word communicate, which we'll see often here, it has the idea of sharing, giving, benevolence. And so he's speaking here about their giving. In Paul's journeys, in Paul's ministry, apparently these saints in Philippi, they provided more than once for him. We read that as we go through here. What they did was a good thing. And Paul reminds us that it's important for us to be willing. I'm going to go back to the thought we had previously, which is being willing for the opportunities which present themselves. Being able to give. Give of ourselves. Give of our means. Give of what the Lord has given to us. It first requires recognition that everything that we have actually belongs to Him to begin with. It all belongs to Him. In verse 14 here, he says, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity. So here you begin to understand these saints provided. And he says in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'll tell a story from Paraguay. When we were there, it might have been in 1990 when Kathy and I went down, or 2004, I don't remember. I was speaking to one of the local pastors, and he had pastored a church that didn't have very much wealth. A lot of poor people in that church. And Dad had come out there at some point to minister to them. And they took up an offering to give to Dad. And I was speaking to that pastor, and he said, you know, we knew that he didn't need that money. That wasn't the reason that we did it. And I thought that was interesting. They did it because they wanted to share. They wanted to give. poor people that had very little. And they knew that he didn't need it. And Dad never asked for any money from anybody. I'll assure you of that. But the pastor was happy about his congregation because of their willingness. And there was fruit that comes from that. And this is what Paul is saying. It is good that these saints here, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, but it's great, it's wonderful, it's marvelous that you chose to give what you did, because there is fruit that comes from that. Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul reminds us, he reminded Timothy in the 6th chapter, I'm not going to turn there, in verse 18 about those that were rich. In verse 17 about those that are rich. And in 18 he says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate or to give. In Hebrews 13, well, let's turn there for a minute. I'm going to look at that one. I know my time's running out here, but Hebrews chapter 13, he speaks in verse 15 about a sacrifice of praise. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate or to give, to show benevolence, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There is a component, if you will, of our spiritual life that involves giving to others. God has blessed us and enabled us to share and given us opportunity to do so. I'll tell you another story about Paraguay. I have lots of good stories about Paraguay, but the church there needed a new entryway with their cars. It was off of a dirt road, and the entryway had gotten pretty bad. It was kind of hard to get in and out, and that was going to cost a fair amount of money. And there was numerous people in the meeting that had abilities to do things. Dirt work and concrete and so on, many different things. And many of them had very little financially. But they all donated their time and came and worked together. We had a large crew for a few days to fix that. And I was thinking, you know, it's not always about giving money. If God enables us for that, that's wonderful. But there are other ways to give, both to the Lord and to others. Paul was a man who was going to preach the gospel no matter what. He could have demanded support from those saints that he ministered to, but he never did, and he's very clear about that. I'm going to read in Acts, the 20th chapter, and I'm running out of time. Okay. In this 20th chapter of Acts, Paul is ready to depart to Jerusalem, and he knows that he probably isn't going to survive this. The Holy Spirit has made it very clear what's going to happen to him. But in verse 32, this is what he is saying as he leaves these saints, speaking in particular to the saints at Ephesus. But he says here, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, speaking of his own hands, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. When necessary, Paul worked with his own hands to do what was necessary to provide. Never requiring of any of the churches that he ministered to or the saints. And so this, I believe it's a marvelous commendation for these saints in Philippi that they communicated with Paul. They gave. And I'm going to read one more thing in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, and then I'm going to quit this morning. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. This is speaking about ministry. I think it applies to every part of our life as we walk with the Lord. God is righteous. God is not forgetting anything. But more importantly, there is a fruit that comes from our willingness. There is a fruit that comes from our willingness. And that's what Paul was looking for. I'm going to quit here this morning. But next time we're going to consider God's supply. We thought about his strength today. Next time we'll consider in particular God's supply. Any questions?